Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary. We're glad that you are part of our family of faith this morning. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm the senior pastor, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all today. Welcome our friends also who are joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. We're glad that you're a part of our virtual family of faith as we've gathered as followers of Jesus Christ here this morning. As we're gathered, we ask that you take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says connect at the very top. So we invite you to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in worship today. On the back side, you can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in life and work and ministry of our church, or if you'd like to grow your faith through our congregation. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering baskets that our ushers will pass later on in our worship service this morning. For our friends who are joining us virtually, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and you can follow along with us from wherever you are this morning. We invite you to take a look at the back side of your worship bulletin. And as you're going there, you notice that something is missing on my right-hand side. We have no screen today. We have a new presentation computer in the back, and we've been working with it for a few weeks. But as often happens with new technology, sometimes it does not work. Today is one of those days, and so we're just going to kind of be open to the Spirit as the word is for today, and we hope that you picked up a song sheet so we can go old school church camp style, and we can sing along with the words. And so we got our song sheet, we got our bulletin, and so on the back of your bulletin, you see things that are happening in the life of our congregation. We're so thankful for Bill and Sue Carter for hosting our Fall Family Fun Day at their home yesterday. Despite the rain and the dreary weather, our folks had a great time, and so we're so thankful for their hospitality and their grace and their openness. Amen to that. You may have noticed there are extra pumpkins that you saw out on the benches outside the sanctuary. You're welcome to grab one of those and decorate them with your family later on today, so you can pick one up as you leave church today. Our next Meet the Pastors is happening today following this service. We'll be down in the Fellowship Hall, so out the sanctuary doors, and you take a left, and it's the big room at the end. We hope that you'll come and join us if you're a new member, if you're a new friend, if you simply want to know more about how to get more involved in the life of our church, if you want to get to know our pastors more, it should be a great time. We'll have lunch and then get to visit together, and so we're looking forward to that happening after this service. You may have also noticed that our library committee is having another sale today, and so you're welcome to stop by and to browse and to pick up something for your own devotional life, and all the proceeds from that go to support our library, and so we're so thankful for that. You see a little note on the back of a bulletin that our all-congregational gathering is next Saturday up in Newton, Iowa at the Christian Conference Center. This is like our big regional assembly for all Disciples of Christ churches across Iowa and Minnesota and North and South Dakota. And so it should be a great day, and so if you want to go, reach out to us, and we'll give you more information. There is worship, and there are different workshops about growing in your faith. Our own Pastor Brooke is one of the co-chairs of this event, and so it should be a great time on next Saturday. Lastly, today is the beginning of our annual stewardship campaign, and Peg Levinson is coming forward now. She's a member of our Stewardship and Finance Committee, and she's going to bring us a good word about the pledge card that you find inside your bulletin.
Good morning. So he says I have a good word. How many words is this? I mean, so I hope you're planning to stay for lunch. I don't know, but yeah. So I found it is stewardship campaign is starting, and it runs through October 29th. So in your bulletin, you have a pledge card, which you can certainly fill out today if you feel moved to do that, or I maybe take it home and pray about it and see what you can do. I found a good quote that I liked from Winston Churchill. It says, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And as we're thinking about the giving, you know, instead of asking you all to do the pledge and all that stuff, I want to thank you for what you've already done. Everyone in this sanctuary has contributed to the ministry of First Christian Church. Every one of you, whether it's somebody that's really short or somebody that's really old like me, everyone has contributed in some way. Whether it's a smile, walking down the hall, maybe that's touched someone that's having a rough day, painting 30 houses over the years, providing warm water for the baptistry, very important. For providing Sunday school material for youth and adults and kids. And thank you for providing a ministerial staff that is second to none. We love them all. That's great. And for providing music that warms our hearts and our souls every Sunday. It's wonderful. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for a library. Church library that has all kinds of material that helps me grow spiritually, and for our online capabilities. Even though we're screenless today, that's all right. But people, I mean, we send this out to people all over. So thank you for that equipment and for the people that know what to do with it. Thank you for this warm sanctuary that I can come and worship and feel safe every Sunday, even though it does have red shag carpet. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you for the morning coffee on Sundays that wakes me up, and it helps support farmers in Nicaragua. Thank you for building beds for over 150 children that didn't have beds of their own. Thank you for Vacation Bible School that lights up the church and the neighborhood. Thank you for a van that brings people to church that can't drive themselves and that transports kids to church camp. Speaking of church camp, thank you for the camp and conference center, which is available next Saturday. It is absolutely holy ground. And if you've never been there, you need to make the trip. It's a wonderful place for all of us. And let's see, thank you for the church staff that keep the wheels rolling, keep things running for us. We thank you for providing that, because you all have done that. So that's some of the things that you have contributed. And we just hope that you prayerfully consider your giving cards. And as a really wise person said in last week's caller, prayerfully consider your support of the ministries of First Christian Church. What do I have to give? How am I called to share my blessings with the church and with the world? As 1 Timothy says, followers of Christ are called to share and to be generous. What might that look like?
Worship.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, today allow us to hear your words in a different way than before. Allow your words to speak directly to us and show us that even though we are different from the person sitting next to us, we are open-minded. We are all your children, and we are thankful for your love that you provide to us every day unconditionally. Please be with us this week as we go about our busy lives. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading today comes from the 16th Psalm, verses 5 through 11. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a godly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May God bless the reading of God's holy word. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a children's message with Pastor Annika.
Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. The little ones to him belong, they're deep, but he is grown. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me so.
What's time? Your kids are here. Oh,
hi. Good morning. How are you all doing? That's awesome. Sorry, I was listening to music on my headphones. One reason people use headphones is to hear something better. If it's noisy around you, you can put your headphones on or in and hear what you're listening to. That's kind of what we need to do if we want to hear God speaking to us. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about openness from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. In the Bible, there was a little boy named Samuel. He lived at the tabernacle, serving Eli the priest. One night, God called to Samuel. "Samuel," God said. But Samuel didn't know it was God calling him. He thought it was the priest Eli, so he went into Eli's room. Eli said, "I didn't call you." So he sent Samuel back to bed. God called Samuel two more times, and Samuel kept thinking it was Eli, so each time he would go into his room. Finally, Eli figured out that God was calling Samuel. He told Samuel, "The next time God calls you, Samuel, you need to say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" God did call Samuel again, and when Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," God talked to him. In fact, God talked to Samuel a lot after that. But he had to learn to listen to God's voice first. It's the same in our lives. If we want God to speak to us, we have to listen to him. We might not hear his voice as Samuel did, but we will hear God speaking in our minds and our hearts. So I challenge you this week, instead of putting on your headphones and drowning out the noises around you, to take some time to be quiet and see if you can hear God speaking to your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear you speaking to our hearts and our minds. Help us to listen and pay attention to you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, hurrah, hurrah. The little ones to him belong, they'll be pleased. Oh, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me so.
Many people participating in church life learned about stewardship as children. The lessons might have been taught by their parents, or maybe others taught them about tithing or regularly setting aside a certain amount to contribute to a weekly offering. I've heard of parents who have given their children a dollar allowance with the requirement that 10 cents of that went to the church. When I was a little girl, we didn't get allowances, but I remember going to the store with my mom and sister, and if she and I behaved, my sister and I, then my mom would give us a nickel. Well, kind of hard to tie the nickel, but we could use that money to buy something for ourselves. The next day, she also gave us a quarter, but that money was to go in the offering plate, and we were always excited to be able to do that. I didn't think about it at the time, but consider 5 cents of what we received we got to keep, and 25 cents we gave to the church. That was how my mother prioritized and how she taught us that we should return to God part of what we had received. In Philippians, Paul reminded believers that when they kept on doing the things they had learned, the God of peace would be with them. You may have learned as a child about sharing financially, or it may have been when you began your life in the church. So now, here is your opportunity to do what you have learned as the ushers receive your morning tithes, gifts, and offerings.
Won't you join me in prayer? Loving God, we give you thanks for these gifts, for these offerings. May they be symbolic of sacrifice on our parts. May they be used to further your word and your kingdom, not only here, but outside of these doors and throughout the world. Lord God, we come before you this morning overflowing with gratitude. While there is so much we could grumble about, let us be thankful instead. We give you thanks for all your gifts to us, for daily food, for health, for each breath we take, for freedom to choose, and for the gifts of your word, your power, and your love. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed, O God, when we consider how you have entrusted so much to us. May we be worthy of that trust. May we be a people who are unafraid to live as fully and as richly as you want us to live. So often we allow the cowardice that comes so naturally to us as humans to keep us living quiet, polite lives, rather than living boldly with faith-filled, faith-driven lives of action. Help us, O God, as followers of Jesus, to multiply all that you have given us, to take the risks that are needed to spread your word and perhaps see it misunderstood, to gamble by loving those whom others think worthy of only hate, to take chances by doing good to those who have not done good to us. Help us to be faith-filled and desire to increase your glory and your goodness in this world. Make us people who share in both word and deed that which you have given to us. We pray for the church today, gathered all around the world, that your church may encourage all of its members to discover, develop, and use all their gifts, those of nature and those of grace. We pray for those who are poor in body or in spirit, for those oppressed or heavy laden, for those sick or in despair. Hear our prayers for those who are suffering this day, the hungry, the homeless, the sick and imprisoned, the angry, the lonely, and the lost. We pray that you would not let our concern pass from our hearts as these words pass from our lips, but rather that you would empower us to do your work of healing and reconciliation throughout the world. Minister by your Spirit and by us to all those for whom we have prayed, and help us to walk faithfully in the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we pray especially for those in Israel and Palestine. We grieve the loss of your children, and we know that you weep at the sights as well. O God, bring your peace upon the world. Spare innocent lives. Bring an end to the conflict. Bless those who mourn, those who have lost so much. Be with them, O God. We give thanks for the gift of being able to bring our cares, concerns, worries, and thanksgiving to you. We are so very thankful for your attentiveness and your love and listening. We pray all of these things in the name of your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ. And we lift our voices together to pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, Here I am, and ran to Eli, and he said, Here I am, for you have called me. But Eli said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you have called me. But Eli said, I did not call you, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he got up and he went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you have called me. Then Eli perceived that it was the Lord calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're continuing here today with our fall sermon series called Core Values. We are in week 5 out of 7, and so we're just about done. Just a couple more weeks to go. The series is based on the core values of our church, those biblical values, those attributes that we hold dear as a church community together. These are the gifts from God that we have seen growing in our life that we want to keep on seeing growing and flourishing as God leads us together into the future. And so, just in case you've missed it, if you have not memorized these values quite yet, our values are grace and kindness, teamwork, dependability, spirituality, openness, and generosity. Up to this point, up until here today, we have ticked the boxes of grace and kindness, spirituality, and dependability. And so the word for us, the core value for us today is openness. Now, on the surface, we may think that we all are open to new ideas and new thoughts. We may think that we are all flexible and easygoing and go with the flow kind of people. Even those of us who are in no way, shape, and form flexible or easygoing, we may think that we are, in fact, flexible and easygoing in life. We may tell our friends, we love change. We love to try new things all the time. We love to visit new places and try new restaurants. We love it when our favorite restaurant changes their whole entire menu. We love to go with the flow there. We love it when things change at work, or like our road that we usually take to work changes and we have to go a whole new way. We're flexible, we tell ourselves deep down. We may even convince ourselves that we love to kind of shake things up on our very own, to kind of make us uncomfortable and stir things up. That's what we may tell ourselves on the inside. But deep down, there's a part of us, maybe a large part of us, that like things to be the same. We love our favorite sports. We love our favorite coffee and coffee shops. We love our favorite hobby. We even may have our favorite pew when it comes to the church. And if it's not like one pew, then it's like a section of pews that we love to sit in. In fact, often while I'm preaching, I can take mental attendance about who is here and who is not because of where you all usually sit every single week. There's comfort and there's peace and there's like a worn out place in your favorite spot. That's how it is, right, when it comes to God. Like, we love it every single week. We may say that we're open to God's leading in our life, that we're open to the Spirit moving us and shaping us, but sometimes we have a hard time moving. In our Disciples of Christ denomination, the process for churches to find new ministers and ministers to find new churches is called the search and call system. So what this means is that in our church, like the regional minister or like some bishop, like way high up, does not just call you one day and say, today's your lucky day, you're being moved to First Christian Church in Fargo, North Dakota. You're going to love snow there, and so why don't you pack up and go ahead and move. That's not how our church works. If our church is happy, if like the minister is happy and things are going well, you are welcome to stay as long as you'd like. And so personally, I've been here over 11 years now, and as long as the Holy Spirit keeps on calling us here, you're stuck with me for a while. And so I'm on like the 50-year plan, so buckle up, we're like just getting started together. And so in the search and call process, churches fill out their profiles about who they're looking for, and pastors fill out their profiles about the kind of churches they're looking for, and it's a big game of like match together. And so once you fill out your profile from the pastor side, you send it in to the general office in Indianapolis, and then they pass it out to churches who are looking for pastors. And so on this big, long questionnaire, you can check where you're looking to serve. Like, are you going to pick a specific region or a specific state? Or you want to be crazy and do you want to check the box general search, as in every church in the U.S. and Canada all the way to Timbuktu or something? And let me tell you that when Liz and I were just getting started and we were young and we were in love and it was wonderful and we had no kids and we had no strings and we had family in Missouri, but that was about it. We at first checked general search, as in like every region in the country. And so we started getting calls from all over the place. Churches in Georgia and Tennessee and Texas and kind of everywhere. And one day I got an email from the regional minister of the Disciples of Christ Church in Nevada. Now, I've never been in Nevada, and my fiance at the time, Liz, she'd never been to Nevada either, and so for a moment, both of us thought, you know, people in Nevada need the Lord Jesus Christ, just like people in the Midwest do, where we grew up, and so for a minute, we thought, maybe the Lord's going to call us to Nevada. There are great people, I'm sure, who live in Nevada, but we talked about it for a while, and we thought, well, you know, maybe not. But one day I get this email, and so I call her up, and it's literally 11:30 at night, and she had been asleep for more than an hour or two. She was a school teacher back in these days, and so I woke her up from her beauty rest, and I said, I got this email, and do you think God's going to call us to Nevada? And do you know what she said? She said, no, we've already decided this, and she hung up on me in that very moment. And so we realized that though we were open to God leading us, for me at least, God was calling me to the central time zone, to like this area here or there. And truthfully, I had my own list of where I believe God was going to call me. God was going to call me to a town that had Starbucks and Target and the Cardinals on television and the radio and a good golf course nearby and like good school for our kids who were not even yet born, and also at the bottom of that list, like a good church too, at the very bottom. I had my own list because that's how it is. We are open to the Spirit of God. We tell ourselves, but only if we can fit God into our mold. If God comes to us on our terms with Starbucks and good schools. We're not the first one, of course, to make our own list. I mean, we all struggle with being open to God's leading. There's this great story in the book of Exodus where Moses is leading the people of God out of slavery in Egypt, and they're on the way to the promised land, and they're not yet there. They're like stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. God called Moses, and at the beginning, he wanted no part of leading God's people, but God kept on aftering him, and finally he said, okay. And so he started leading the people. And there's like this big dramatic scene, like they're in the book of Exodus, and this big dramatic moment, they're coming to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is chasing after them, and it's like the Ten Commandments movie with like Charlton Heston. He raises his arm and his staff, and he places it in the ground, and the Red Sea waters part, and God's people make it on through, but then once they're through, the waters recede back, and Pharaoh's army drowns. And as soon as this happens in Exodus chapter 15, Moses and the people of God sing this great song of all that God has done. They sing things like, I will always sing for all that God is and who God is has been for us. For God is our strength. God is our might. God has become my salvation, the people sing. On and on they go, thanking God for rescuing them and hearing them. But it's not two verses later, like as soon as they close their hymnal, two verses after this, they begin to complain. The water in the land is not good enough. It's bitter. There's not enough food for them, and the food they have is not good enough. They say things to Moses like, if you were going to kill us, couldn't you have left us back in Egypt and killed us there? Why did we have to come out here? Because now we're hungry. At least back then we'd have full stomachs, but now we're hungry. Were you going to kill us? They had been crying to God for help, save us, help us, rescue us. And when God did, then they still complained. I mean, we do that at times to God. We pray to God for assistance, and we pray, and we pray, and we trust that God is going to answer us at 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon, no later, no sooner. We say that we're open to God's leading, but only if God acts like us and speaks our language. And sometimes this turns into big, huge idolatry where we make God in our own image. And so God loves all the things that we love and hates all the things that we hate. We're open to the Spirit moving in our life if God only moves this way, but otherwise we're closed. But God is, of course, bigger than that. Bigger than the idol that we make God out to be. So the question is, how can we be open? Not with parameters, not with barriers, or God coming to us on our own set terms, but how can we be open? The answer for us comes today in this unlikely of places. We heard that second reading from the book of 1 Samuel, and in this we hear Samuel's story. God came to him when he was young. The Bible says Samuel was just a boy, which meant back in his day he was like 8, maybe like 10 years old, and he was serving in the temple there as one of the assistants to the priest. And the Lord called Samuel and called him by name, and so when this happened, he did not know what was going on. He didn't recognize that it was the Lord God calling him in the middle of the night. It must have been the TV or the radio or neighbors or something. And so he wakes up and he runs to Eli, the priest, who's deep in his sleep, and he wakes him up and says, "What has happened? Why did you call me?" Eli says, "It wasn't me. Go back to bed." It happens a second. And a third time, when finally he realizes it's the Lord God standing in his midst, calling him to serve. And maybe you heard Samuel's response to the Lord. He simply says, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." Not like, "What do you want? It's 2 a.m. Like, he simply says, "Speak, I'm listening." With an open heart and an open mind, he's ready to be moved by where the Holy Spirit moves him. Isn't that something for us? With this call that comes on our life, we're called to be open because God may be moving us to places that we may find at first uncomfortable. God may be moving through our midst in ways that we may not expect. God may be reaching us out to love people that we have previously deemed unlovable, calling us to serve in whole new ways in life. God may be moving us to look again at our finances and our monies to see if it aligns with not just our values, but with God's values and what we think is most important. For God is calling us to listen. To listen for his voice speaking down to us. To live a life that is open, one that is open to the Spirit of Christ moving through us so that God can shape us and make us and mold us so that we can share God's love every day. Let us pray. O loving God, you have made everything that we see and even the things that we imagine. You are bigger than anything we can fathom or dream in life. And yet you love us and you care for us and you call us your own. Help us, O loving God, to live a life of openness, to be open to your leading and to your moving, so that we can be the kind of people that you would have us to be, so that we can share the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we offer this prayer and our lives to you. Amen.